Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service. So great. You're doing well this morning? Can we say a big shout out to everyone who's joining us online at the moment? So great to have you with us today. It's just awesome. You just snuck up. That was good. And can we as well just say thank you to all of those who are running shuttles, who are enabling us to know where we can park and how we can get to where we can get to. Amazing team everywhere. Just appreciate you so much. And you can grab a seat. You can grab a seat. It's awesome. Thank you, guys. Brilliant. Brilliant. You know, pretty phenomenal, hey, what God's doing. It's so easy just to jump in and let's just jump into it, but I just can't help but just keep pinching ourselves going, gosh, God, look what you are doing, look what you've done. And it's just so, such an honour that we are in a time that we are in. And so thankful for the generations who have paved the way and prayed the way that we are stepping into what we're stepping into. And last weekend for me was just so moving. Just absolutely moved, right? Like just walking into rooms and just tears would start flowing. And just, I remember the first time hearing the foyer, just a buzz with people. Just going, gosh, that's what it is. It's about family together, everybody connecting. And some of those were meeting for the first time. Some of those had done years of life together. And it was just the warmth that was taking place. I mean, to have the altar, you know, filled with people in the morning service and to have more decisions across a Sunday than we've ever had any other Sunday. I tell you what, that's been our deepest desire in this step has been, come on, if you heard it, it's not a rhyme, it's a statement of faith, Sim Street Revival in Jesus' name. And we're just seeing that, which is awesome. I want to say thank you to everyone for your patience. I want to thank you for, if you needed to use the toilets next door, thank you for just working it out with us, because no doubt there's going to be some bumps along the way. And I just love, as a family, we're in it together. And it's not about perfection and getting it all like a show. It's not about that. It's about real hearts connecting with a real God and keeping making room for others. And so just got to say, we've never been built on convenience, but we've been built on a cause and a commission. And our cause is Jesus Christ. He is our cause, loving him. You know, all generations and cultures coming together under one name and lifting that name up. And our commission is to go into our community, to go and make room for anyone and everyone. And so if today you are here as an anyone and an everyone, what an honor it is to have you here. And just love that you're here and trust that you've been able to meet a few people. And the genuine sense of home was something you experienced. In fact, I loved it last week. On Sunday morning, I believe it was, meeting someone in the foyer, and they said, oh, I couldn't make the commission on Friday night. This is my first. I've been here like 2 minutes. And they were already standing at the coffee station. Who knows? That's a godly posture right there. Funny, I was standing there with them. And they just said, this is the first time I've just walked in, but I've got to say, the moment I walked in, I'm home. And I love that whilst this is new, actually it's normal. It's God's family together and it's home, and I just love that. And as we grow, that doesn't mean less of a sense of home. I believe it increases the sense of home. And so this morning I've been really praying over the last few weeks, as I've known that, obviously anticipating the first message at Sim Street. What are you going to preach? One of the tradies asked me actually a few weeks ago, so what are you going to preach your first message? And I said, oh, I don't know. But at the same time, I had this stirring in my spirit. Yeah, I got a sense of what God wants us to say. Yeah. And the simple dynamic of what I'm going to preach as the scriptural reference is, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Father, we honor you. We are here to glorify your name. We marvel at your goodness. We marvel at your faithfulness. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we haven't sat back and you haven't been a genie who waved a wand, but through the faithfulness of hundreds and hundreds of people, Lord, through the ability to be able to stand on your promise, Lord, you have moved mountains. You have raised valleys. And here we are, lifting up your name, declaring your word to be the truth. And Father, I just pray that you'd have your way. There'd be an anointing and an authority upon it that can only come from you. Lord, use this vessel, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. We are sitting and we are dwelling in the impossibilities of man. We are sitting in a place that to man it is impossible. But the possibility of an all-powerful God has made it available that we are here today. Yeah, Matthew 19:26 literally says this. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And what that means is like with man it is impossible. With man, with us in our lives, there are problems, there are hurdles, there are dead ends, there are things that seem too big, too much, too far. But, somebody say but. With God, all things are possible. Despite how big, he's bigger. Despite how hard, he's higher. Despite how overwhelming, he has overcome. So with man, it is impossible problem. But with God, all things are possible promise. If you want a title for today, problems and promises. Problems and promises. We are not sitting in a problem-free miracle. We are sitting in a promise-full miracle. I want to speak to somebody today. If your marriage feels like it's too hard to be restored, I want to say it's not impossible for God. If you've been searching and longing for someone to be the right life partner, your godly appointed man or woman that you need in your life, and you just keep coming to a dead end, I want to tell you, God's not done. If you carry a weight of regret that seems too much, I want to tell you, God's able to overcome. If your pain seems too crippling, your fears too dominating, your addiction too gripping, your insecurity too overwhelming, or your health condition too advancing, our God is a God who is more than able. He is more than able. And you say, I've tried this and I've tried that. So did the woman with 12 years of bleeding. She tried this and she tried that. But one touch, and the impossible was made possible. Can I just share quickly from my heart? I pray that as we walk onto Sim Street any time and every time for the next decade after decade after decade, I pray that whatever we're going through, we would step on and faith would rise. Because we realize, hey, we're not stepping into something that was orchestrated by the smarts of a man or by a team who thought there was a will and a way. No, we're stepping into the fact that there was no way, but we have a God who made a way. And in that, there's something that rises. God, if you could do it in your church, you can do it in your children. Lord, would you do it again? And something would grow within us to be able to trust God to another level. We have a God of the possible. When the fire should have consumed them, it was Christ who was revealed through them. When death was the penalty for adultery, Jesus raised her up and said, neither do I condemn thee. When the lion should have devoured Daniel, it was his promise that defined Daniel. When Sarah's womb was a prune, Joseph was locked in a tomb, Jonah in the belly of a fish, and Esther's Jewish genocide was set. When giants stood in the way, when David had a bad, adulterous, murdering day. Sorry, it just flowed. It had to. When the All Blacks lost by one. It was grace that flowed. Seas that parted. One boy's lunch became a buffet for the masses. The dirty became clean. The lame leaped. The proclaimed dead woke from their sleep. The barren gave birth. Dead religion was revealed as no worth. Christ laid down his spot-free life and took our place that we may exchange our death for his life. Crucified on a cross, he counted my cost. And now with the price of sin paid, the keys of death he has raided. Come on, and the way to eternal life has been made. No valley too deep, no night too dark, no ocean our God and his might can't part. Simply, we come as we are. We receive transformation through his scars. Now, never having to measure up, it's our only in his hands that always will be enough. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know that Jesus, there was over 300 plus prophecies about Jesus coming in the Old Testament. And Jesus came and he fulfilled all of them. Do you know that when Jesus fulfilled all of those prophecies, a lot of what he was doing was actually answering the problems of his day. He was answering the problems and the need of the human heart, of the condition of people's lives. He was raising the dead. He was cleansing the leper. All things that had been prophesied about. Here he is. It wasn't the problem-free reality of humanity that enabled Jesus to be revealed as the promise. It was actually the problems that people were going through that revealed Jesus to be the promise keeper. You catching what I'm putting down? Jesus himself doesn't promise a problem-free life. In fact, he promises the opposite. In Matthew 6:34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anybody got trouble in their day to day? It was prophesied. John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, when it came to building the building here and the church, it was amazing because every time I'd walk into the building and talk with one of the site managers or the builder himself, it was like there was another problem. Every time there was another problem. And I would find myself apologizing. I'm so sorry that there's two layers of concrete in the foundations followed by three layers of brick. I'm so sorry that this wasn't foreseeable. I'm so sorry that that wasn't affected. I'm so sorry we have to find a solution here, there, and everywhere. I was constantly apologizing. Until one day the builder said to me, what do you keep saying apologizing for? This is what building is. We go from problem to problem and we'll end up at completion. Someone needs to be freed this morning. Stop thinking that your life that is seemingly going from challenge to challenge is somehow a projection of failure. I'm here to say to you today that it's actually the pathway to your future. Layer by layer, you are made into the image of Christ. He's achieving more than you are aware of. And like Paul, we need to have that same posture that says, not that I've already arrived, but I press on towards the prize which Christ has called us heavenward. I want to encourage you, keep taking steps forward. Keep depending on God's faithfulness. Keep inviting His promised provision because you're reflecting His glory more than you realize. I declare that it's not a life of problem to problem, but rather we are living lives of promise to promise. One thing I know is that God is faithful and He's able to complete what He started. I love that wherever we walk in, whatever room we walk in, if I could spend time with you and walk through every room, I love that I could easily point to the areas of favor, areas of blessing, areas of miraculous provision, areas of breakthrough, areas of everybody said that wouldn't happen. Everywhere we go, it literally is, honestly, we are surrounded by the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And what I love is that we get to do nothing but marvel at Him. Right? There's nothing in us that goes, oh, look what we found and look what we did. No, we just marvel. The amount of time sitting with the core team as we're going through stuff that we would just be dumbfounded at the God's goodness. The amount of times I would say to the key team when it was like, well, we don't have enough money for that. Then have you got faith for it? Because I'm telling you, God will make a way. The speaker that you're listening through is a miracle from another church up in Queensland. Who had already gifted it in a sense or commissioned it to go to a school, found out of what we were doing, and they cancelled that on the spot. And they said, no, you guys will need, that's exactly the sound system you need in your church. And gave it to us for about 170 grand less than you could get it at market value. I'm telling you, not because we've twisted people's arms, but just because that's the way God operates. All the rigging that you're seeing. I remember Micah saying to me that one of the other great friends we have in church circles who does production for a living said to him, oh, so what's your budget? It must be about $2.5 million, right? Because I've seen what you want to achieve. At which point there was a tear that rolled from Micah's eye. He said, not even quarter of that. Which was said, well, then you're not going to get it. But I thank God that there was a team that had faith that just said, God, it's not about getting everything, but it's about doing what you want. And I can tell you, from the rigging to the screen to everything that you're a part of to the little bits of slat on the back of the wall there, it's all been, honestly, miracle after miracle, favor after favor, and it all came in with budget. A lot of problems, but we've got a God who's got a lot of promise. The Riverside car park, it's a miracle. I don't want to catch a shuttle. It's a miracle we have that. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. I was waiting for the neighbours to open up their car parks. I mean, we're lovely people. Well, how could you say no to us? Even sent Nadia across. Still got a no. Which, P.S., please do not park in the neighbours' car parks. They literally need it for the operation of their business, and we want to have a great relationship with our neighbours. So please, if you think, oh, there's a sneaky just in there, can I sneakily say don't do that? Literally 2 weeks before opening, I was like, God, we need a miracle. And I knew of that area down there. So I went and drove there, and something in my spirit was like, this is it. Me and my faith sat on that for another 10 days. And then the Thursday before the Friday commissioning service, said to Nadia, oh yeah, I had a little bit of a prompting when I was over there. So Nadia and our friend Jules went over there, straight away met this guy, William, who actually looks after it. And he straight away was like, yeah, we could open it early for you. And then just this week, he just said, you know what? You can have it all year round apart from one weekend. It's yours. We'll guarantee we'll lock that in. That is now where you can operate from. I don't know about you, but that's God's goodness. That's God's faithfulness. And just hear it. It may not seem like it's at the right time, but I tell you, he's always on time. So next time you think, oh, I don't know about the shuttle, if you get there early enough, I'll be there hanging out and we'll just put some gravel. It'll be great. Huh. Listen, it's actually through our problems we receive supernatural provision and we unlock scriptural promise. It's not your problem-free life. It's not your challenge-avoided life. No, it's the area that we go, okay, God, I need you. Don't wish your problems away. Invite God to have his way. And in that, he's able to make a way. All our problems met with his provision reveal the truth that he is our promise. When doctors said that Colin and Lana wouldn't have a baby, Joe and Jacinta wouldn't have a baby, Andre and Carolina never have a baby, never conceive, Samuel Dreyer and Olivia, as well as many other children we have in our church, are all promises of God that have been yes and amen. When 18-month-old JJ had two-hour cardiac arrest and was declared that he would die overnight or at best live brain dead the rest of his life, yet 6 weeks later walked out pushing his own bag, laughing and smiling with no long-term implications, I got to tell you, we've got a God who can do the impossible. We've got a God who can do the impossible. He is a way maker. So it's not the absence of problems, but it's our it's not our absence of problems, but that he is our supernatural provider. That we fully realize he is the promise. He's the one that brings lasting peace, total forgiveness, perfect purpose, unwavering hope, divine intervention, sovereign is our savior, true freedom, miracle supply. It doesn't mean you get everything you want your way, right? The promise of a peace that surpasses all understanding basically means there's going to be some dark days where we just go, God, I don't know why. I talked to great friends of mine who are just like at the moment just going, God, what are you doing within our business? Yet at the same time, there's this peace. God's in control. You can't align that naturally. But when you connect with that and the reality of that's who God is, that's what he does, then you realize that even though it might seem like it's a full stop, in God it's always a comma. There's always something else he can do. There's another way that he can work. And sometimes it's not the death of things that means it's over. Sometimes it's the death of things that cause things to come to life in a way that we couldn't see when it was alive. So I want to just quickly, over the next few minutes I have, look at 3 points of how we live partnered to his promise amidst the problems. And as I was preparing to just simply the acronym of HOW. H-O-W is what we're going to build off, all right? So number one, if you're taking notes, H is Holy Spirit. How do we live partner to his promise in the midst of problems? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I love what David Hall, a great friend of ours, who said earlier this year in one of our services, he says, for every how, there is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I got to go so one greater can come. I don't know about you, but if you had Jesus living, walking alongside of you, do you not think that the confidence we would live with, the assurance that we would carry in the midst of the mountain valleys, the impartible oceans or the deep valleys of life, do you not think if Jesus was right next to us, we would be going, it's okay, he's in my boat. It's okay, I got the creator of the heavens and the earth with me. And yet Jesus is saying, I got to go so that you can have the Holy Spirit who would live within inside of you. So then that way we would all live with the same level of proximity to the presence of God as the disciples did. And we could walk through life going, come on, I got God on the inside of me. I got his presence around me. I got his word alive on the inside of me. There's something that I live with that doesn't get shaken, but actually lives stable in the things of God. I love that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, a guide, the helper, the friend. He must not be our last line of defense. He must be our first response. I want to break the scripture down, but John 14, 26 says this, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom your Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." Excuse me. This is Jesus saying this as well. But it says, first, he's an advocate. What's an advocate? Advocate is somebody biblically who pleads another person's cause, who helps another by defending them or comforting them. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is literally on the front line? He is before God on behalf of you, calling on God, calling on the reality of the wonder of what God can do. He's standing in the gap. And in that, he's defending. And in that, he's comforting. I love that, the advocate. But it goes on and says that he's a gift from the Father and he's sent in my name, which means he comes in the authority of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but if the world could get us to do anything, it would take the Jesus out of the Christianity that we live. And in the Acts, when they caught the disciples, what they said is, "Hey, you can carry on, but stop using the name of Jesus Christ." One thing I've realized in my walk with God is that as I've got close to the Holy Spirit, I find that my ability to illuminate, enlarge, and activate the name of Jesus Christ in my life only gets larger. It's not a wishful thinking. I don't need people just to wish me well. I just don't want people to hope for me. Come on, I need somebody to use the name. There's a name above every name that has power and authority. It's a name that's above. And it says he'll teach you all things. There's so much we don't understand. But he says he'll teach you. He'll enable you to fulfill his purpose and plan. I can't tell you how many times as we went through different challenges, and especially all the legal ones, of which at one point there was 11 significant legal dynamics at play. And we had the great gift of Tiff and on team and others. But I can't tell you how much the Holy Spirit literally just enabled me to understand stuff without 4 or 5 years of university degrees. And I don't know about you, but I can say, thank you, Lord. And this isn't a gloat about me. This is because I didn't gloat in the moment. But when I sat with the agent on the day we had signed, while we were waiting for the vendor to countersign and say the land was ours, he said, "Man, you're pretty good at this stuff. What'd you do for your education? What'd you study?" And I said, "Well, I failed school. So how do you understand all this stuff?" And because he knew that I would bring God into everything, I said, "Honestly, man, it's just God. There's no other way." And I can tell you time and time again where the Holy Spirit would give ideas. When you're sitting in a meeting with a whole bunch of lawyers and you're coming up with fresh ideas about different ways we could approach something, that's not the gift of a person. That's the outworking of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Come on, he enables, he sees, he knows what we don't know, and he is able to work on our behalf. I love that. And he reminds you of everything that's been said. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. This is the question. What have we read that enables Holy Spirit to reaffirm what God has said? What have we read that enables Holy Spirit to reaffirm all that God has said? When we aren't consuming scripture, we'll always find it harder to hear Holy Spirit. Oh, I can't hear him. I haven't heard from him lately. Have you picked it up lately? This isn't pages. This is a person. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This is alive. This is living. I can't, in all the chaos that's out there, I don't know what God's saying. It's pretty clear, black and white. Now, if you're listening to somebody's podcast and another person's this and another person's that, I just say, read it for yourself. He's real good. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you and equip you and enable you to be able to be quickened in the things that God has said. I can't tell you how many times I've read the promise of 1 Chronicles 28:20 over the last 3 years. Be strong and courageous. Do the work. As I was with do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. And he will not fail or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is complete. I read that and recited that probably 4 to 5 times every week, which would make out about 780 times in the last 3 years. I can't tell you how many times that when a challenge came up, and there were hundreds, that first thing I would hear was the default to what has God said. When I was tired, he said, do the work. When I wanted an easy way out, he said, do the work. When I felt like I don't want to fast this week, he said, do the work. When I felt like I don't want to read my Bible, he said, do the work. When the objection came along, when this other hurdle came along, when prices rose by 30%, he said, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. And in the last 3 months, I can't tell you how many times things have said to us, it will not open on that date. It will not be possible by the 22nd of October. But I got that default thinking straight in my spirit was, come on, he will not fail you nor forsake you until all the building will be complete and he will make a way. I want to ask the question, is our default worry or his word? Is it worry or his word? We all have default thoughts. We all default to something. But I believe in the Holy Spirit, he wants us to default to the reality of what does he say? What is he leading? What is he doing in this moment? And I thank God for that. I thank God because why? It makes you naive to the impossibilities of man. And it makes you very aware to the possibilities of God. Make sense?
Yeah.
Come on. He cannot be our last resort. He has to be our first response. Number two, ownership. Ownership. I can't tell you how many times the challenge at hand that we had throughout the building and different contractors and trades and stuff like that, where it would be said, yeah, but who's responsible? Oh, that's not our area. Oh, that's not my responsibility. Oh, yeah, no, you probably don't need me to say anything. What you need is a consultant. Of all which love to, drop a little, oh, here's my fee and my fee and my fee. And there was this thing of just like, you would say, yeah, but I get that. But what do you reckon? Yeah, well, it's not really my place to say. And there was a negating of responsibility. Nobody wanted to step up and take responsibility. Yeah. I thank God that we had a builder who does take responsibility. Yeah. I thank God that we had a team that was literally like, that's the problem. All right, we've got to find a way through this. Yeah. And got rid of the political jargon and just got to work and doing what God asked us to do. But we live in a culture that is trying to refuse any responsibility. Yeah. And somehow the more of a victim you are, the more victorious you are. But I love that we have a Savior. And all he did was take responsibility. Responsibility to heal, responsibility to restore, responsibility to free people, to bring clarity, to comfort, to confront religiosity. And yes, many people in this room, you may be victims of very sad situations. I'm not discrediting the life that you've walked through or the things you're facing. But I want to say, come on, with Christ, we are called to be overcomers. Come on, and what he did on the cross was not just a victory for him, it was a victory for every single one of us. And we are able to live in him and rise above and actually be victorious because of what he's done. Romans 8, 35 to 39 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. Well, that's a pretty full-on life to be living. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, come on, are we convinced that neither death nor life, neither death nor life, neither angels or principalities, neither present nor future, nor all any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we simply often say, oh God, but if you just make everything easier. Oh God, if you just take the challenge away. I believe God actually says this to us. If you, I will. Now, be careful how you pronounce that. If you. No. If you. If you, I will. If you. I will. This is probably one of the first revelations I got as a new believer at around 18 years old. See, if you is if me, which my part is optional. Yes. I will, which is Jesus, God, yes. His part is promised.
Yes. Wow.
If you, I will.
Yes.
And it was actually in reading Deuteronomy once, when I was younger in my faith, he said, if you fully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring. And you will gather in your grain, new wine and oil, olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. And it was like, as I started reading the Bible, I saw everywhere through the Bible, if you, I will. If you, I will. If you, I will. And we want God to be a genie, where we just sit there and say, come on, God, do your thing. And he's saying, yeah, if you. If you do your part, then I'm actually released to do my part. Now, we can't earn it, but we can enable it. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, he will make straight your paths, Proverbs says. If you don't worry about anything, but instead by prayer, pray about everything, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, Philippians tells us. So there's a responsibility on us to then enable him to be able to move through us. Is it making sense?
Yeah, right.
Come on, if you do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve God's will. I don't know what God's will is. Don't conform to the pattern of this world.
Yeah.
And you watch his plan start to outwork through your life. It's a good, pleasing, perfect will. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you as well. Oh no, I want all these things, and I want. He's saying, no, 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 wrong order. Seek me first, and all these other things I can freely lay upon your life as well. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Oh, yeah, no, but I don't want to forgive them. We are holding ourselves at ransom from what God wants to do in our lives. If you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see, I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing there won't be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields, and will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. If you, come on, if you, don't get those wrong. Come on, if you seek him, you'll find him when you seek him with all your heart. If you boast in your weakness, his power is made perfect and he will rest upon you. If you be friendly, you'll have friends. If you sow, you will reap. If you live a generous life, it'll get larger and larger, but the stingy gets smaller and smaller. If you train up your child in the way that they should go, when they are older, they will not depart from it. If you call the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anoint you with oil, come on, the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well and the Lord will raise them up. Come on, if you take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, we will demolish arguments and pretensions that set itself up under the knowledge of God. I can't tell you in the last 3 weeks how much that scripture has literally been speaking to me. Craig, take captive. Come on, we got to stop just letting things run around in our lives, run around in our minds that are not of God. Take it captive. Make it obedient to Christ. Come on, you're not defeated. Life's not over. It's not too hard. You're not too far past it. God's not done with you yet. Your marriage can be restored. Come on, there's areas that you can flourish in. Oh, but I'll never. Well, if you want to let that be the thing that you let run around in your life and create insecurity in your heart, then you're going to live a limited life. But I'm telling you, if we would take captive, make it obedient to the word of God, then something his word can flourish in our lives. You say amen?
Amen.
Basically, what I'm saying is something that we say here a lot is, do the work. Do the work. Come on, here at Life, we're not going to buy into a Christianity where God reveals the pathway to enable his perfect purpose in and through our lives, and that we just sit on a park bench thinking somehow we're going to arrive where he's destined us to arrive. Come on, we're going to get up. We're going to take steps. We're going to help each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to sharpen each other. We're going to keep stepping into all that he has. Let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be doers of the word that James 1:22 says. Come on, if you, I will. If you, I will. Come on, what are we just letting go by? It's too hard. It's too much. It's too difficult. It's been like this way for a long time. My grandparents, my parents, now it's what it is. I'm telling you, it's time to stop.
Yeah.
You're sitting, dwelling in a place that's impossible by man, but full of the promises of our God. We've got to let the promises of God reign in our heart again. We've got to let the promises of God renew our thinking again. We've got to allow ourselves to lift our eyes to where our help comes from. Last one, but a quick one, is W. So Holy Spirit, ownership, W, with others. How do we live within the tension of promises and problems? We live with others. Do not live isolated. Do not live alone. Be careful the company you keep in the midst of your problem. Be careful who you follow when you scroll in the midst of your problem. Because I tell you what, we've got to start deciding who we want in the inner room. We would not be here if it wasn't for a certain few people that I said to them. I said, guys, I know there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to walk through, and I'm not asking you to be yes people, but I am asking you to never question that this is God's promise for our church. There'll be so many hurdles, but I tell you, God will do a heavenly outcome for every single one of them. And if you can't have that posture, I can't have you in this room. Doesn't mean you don't play a great part, but there's some people you need in your room that are going to be able to take God at His word and believe that He's going to make a way when He says, I'll make a way. It was Jairus' daughter who died on the way as Jesus got preoccupied with another miracle. And yet on the way, they said, she's dead. He said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. She went there, and when he said that, people laughed and mocked. What did Jesus do? He took only a few disciples. He didn't take all of them. He got out everybody who jeered and mocked, and He kept the parents in. And then He spoke to Lotha Kong. He said to her, and He said, daughter, I tell you, get up. And in that room, that place of faith, she got up. She stood to her feet, and she was fully alive again. Some of us need to hear this. There's people in the room that have got to get out of the room. There's some people you're letting their voices into your marriage, and they should never be speaking into your marriage. There's some people, you've got family, that are belittling your husband or your wife. You've got to get them out of the room. Sorry if that sounds pretty heavy. There's some lunchrooms we're sitting in, chatting about stuff we shouldn't be chatting about. Get out of the room. There's some friendships we may have in our university and schools. But come on, it's time to remove that level of influence from our lives. Get them out of the room. Walk with people that are going to walk with you to the things that God has for you. Because it's not all easy. It doesn't all make sense. But I thank God. I thank God for our church. I thank God that along the 3 years, we had a church that in their spirit just said, come on, let's go. I thank God for people that said 6 months after announcing it, when are we moving? Why haven't we moved yet? Thank you for having no idea. I'm thankful for our staff. Selfless, sacrificial, never doing it for an element of a salary, but always doing it because, hey, God, this is what you put on our lives. Thankful for our dream team. Thankful for my beautiful wife and our incredible kids, that God has graced to be able to walk this as well. Thank you for the core. Thankful for the core team. Thankful for so many people. Thankful for Danny. Yeah. You probably saw the inside of it in the last few months more than anyone. Yeah. Last story, but probably 2 months ago, we were next door with Marcus, one of the tenants. Great guy. Been so good to us, helping us get this project done. I was with him and he's an awesome guy. And he said, hey, you all right? You look like you got a bit going on. And it caught me off guard because I always wanted to be someone that when I got on site, I would help lift people. And here he is noticing a weight that was within me. And I got in the car with Danny as we're driving back to Mark Street. And I said, man, am I really that heavy at the moment? And he goes, oh man, it's a big thing we're doing. The truth of it was, there's other stuff going on. Things happening in one of our kids at the time. It was just like, God, what's happening? Obviously walking with Bryce, and had been honored to walk with a number of families through the most tragic of situations. There was a lot going on. I just found myself just crying. Not alone. But with someone. With someone that I could just go, man, this is just right now, this is where it's at. And it's not that I question what God's doing, and it's not that I don't think He's going to move, but I'm just like, man, And I only remember two things Danny said to me. He said a bunch of good stuff. He said good stuff, man. He said two things. One, I love you. And number two, he said, be strong and courageous. I asked a group of men earlier this year. I said, through this year, there are going to be moments where I'm going to need you to say to me, Craig, you be strong and courageous. I didn't need someone to say, oh, well, maybe we'll just tone it back a bit. Maybe we'll just move the date a couple of months. Maybe we'll just water down what we're going to achieve and let's just do it half-hearted. I didn't need someone to water down the promise of God. I need someone to help reposition me, help reinstate me that you're not alone. God's got this and he's able to move us forward. Standing with Bryce and Kirsten, what a champion family. But I'm going to tell you, there's some rooms where you need the right people in the room. Who, yes, you can hear the specialists, what they're saying, but you need something else in your spirit about what God's promised. And with the moment that we knew it was going to be a longer journey than we thought, straight away I had a vision in my heart of Bryce sitting here at the commissioning service. I never said that to Kirsten until 3 weeks ago after a specialist appointment. We were sitting there and they said what they said, and they said, oh, it's going to be a long and maybe even a year and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And we respect that. But I loved Liam. Liam stood up and said, yes, but give me the markers. Tell me the progress markers we need so that we can see this elevated and see it go to another level. And after that, Kirsten texts me and goes, I'm believing he'll be at commissioning. And at that moment, I said, Kirsten, I've seen it. I've seen him there. And the awesome news is, on the Friday night of commissioning, the first time Bryce has been out of the hospital, he was sitting right there in the middle of the commissioning service, of which he has been an absolute miracle in this whole story. And I know you're listening, mate, but we love you and we're praying for you. And I can't wait. I'm doing the whistle during worship to help you out. But I ask the question, who's in your room? How are you going to navigate the problems and the promises? Then navigate who's in the room. Hearts are open to everyone. But with the promises, come on, there's only sometimes some that really understand and can really own the miracle in the way that God's asked us to own the miracle. Does that make sense? You know, I'd love to pray as we close. So for anyone and everyone, you just feel a bit overwhelmed with the challenges of life at the moment. You're not a bad person. You're definitely not a failure. You think you're going challenge to challenge, but I want you to hear it. You're going promise to promise. There's others. The truth of it is when I said that if you, I will, there's things God's saying, come on. I've been encouraging you for a while now. You've got to start owning your part. It's not by works, but you've got to own your part. Own your part. Outwork his word and you watch it outwork in your life. Transform stuff, renew things, outwork his. But if you're feeling overwhelmed, with every eye closed and every heart open, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, I would love you to raise your hand. Just be bold enough to raise your hand. So many great people. So many incredible people. You're amazing. Right now, Holy Spirit, by your anointing, and in only the way you can, I say, come. Right now, in Jesus' name. He says to me, come all who are weary, I'll give you rest. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. God, right now we pray for the yoke of heaven to flood every single person. Lord, right now we just declare, where there's been a garment of despair, Lord, we just pray for a fresh garment of praise. God, when it looks like there's nothing to be thankful for, God, I pray that you would quicken a remembering of the faithfulness of our God, of the incredible ways that he has outworked and moved. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be divine exchange, supernatural provision in the name of Jesus. Father, we choose not to worry. We choose your word. Lord, we choose not to look at the things that haven't happened. God, we choose to trust you. We hold on to you and we look to you. Father, I pray for every person, Lord, that there would be a default in this next season, a change of default. God, that you would bring people alongside of them that would lift their arms and help them lift their eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would call their eyes and their gaze heavenward. Father, they would see you face to face. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, as they stand up from their seat, feet and they walk out of this auditorium, we declare we leave it at your feet. We lay it down to you again. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes you have made a way where there was no way. God, we just declare the supernatural exchange. We declare a new day and a new dawn in the name of Jesus. With every eye closed and every heart open, if you're here and you've actually never invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, that's where the scripture in Matthew came from. They said, how can we be saved? And Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God everything's possible. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be smart enough. You're never going to be able to tick all the boxes for God to welcome you into his family. No, he says, I've already welcomed you. I've already made a way. I've already said you're mine. All I need you to do is open your heart. All I need you to do is believe in me. And I love how the Bible says that. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, I love that it says that that he will enable you to be able to have eternal life. And I would love, you know, there's no greater weight we carry in our life than when we're separated from God. A weight of condemnation, a weight of sin, a weight of regret. I want to tell you today, you can walk out with a knowing the peace of heaven. You can know the freedom of God. I can tell you, it will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. For every heart that responds and say, God, I need you in my life. Lord, I don't know a whole lot, but what I do know is I need you. I tell you, he responds to every willing heart. And I would love to pray a prayer as we close for anyone and everyone, whether you're in the room or online and you say, Craig, I need to connect with God, whether for the very first time or you're going to come back to him, recommit your heart again. I would love to pray for you. And so I know who I'm praying for. On the count of three, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. If you're at home, you can do this as well. Do something practical as a sign of a response from your heart. But if you're here and you say, Craig, I need God in my life, then please lift your hand and respond as we pray. One, he loves you so much. Two, his word says that today all things are made new. Three, if that's you, come on, would you just shoot him up in the across the room? That's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's awesome. So proud of you guys. What a great decision this morning. It's honestly awesome. God's got such a touch of God on your life. Come on, let's all pray together. Say, dear Jesus, today I open my heart to you. Receive you as my Lord. Receive you as my Savior. I thank you that you've made the way for me to walk in grace, live with purpose, and have a new beginning, and my eternity is secure. I declare, with your help, I will live with you and for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.